Psalm 46. If you get a chance to read that quote from Spurgeon in the bulletin, I encourage you to do so. Psalm 46. We'll read the first three verses. Psalm 46, God, Elohim, covenant keeping, is what that God refers to, is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because of verse 1, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, though all these things might take place, we will not fear, because God is presently our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, even now I'm overwhelmed by your truth in this very well-known psalm, which has given comfort to your children through generations and continues to do so today. My Father, I pray that you would help me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. May your children be drawn to thee and thee alone. Lord, I pray that, Father, our faith, our hope, our trust, and our comfort in thee would be mightily strengthened this morning through the preaching of thy word. Lord, be honored and glorified in all that we say and do, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I wish to, first of all, this morning, before I begin, ask your forgiveness, for I could never exhort or extract all the great blessings found in this 46th Psalm. The more I read it, and I've been reading it for over 38 years, the more I'm humbled by its truths. But I believe if we could but receive the smallest portion of the blessed truths in this 46th Psalm this morning, I believe we will be blessed above all that we have ever earned or merited or thought. If God would just bless us with a portion of this, I believe we could all say as we leave this morning, we've been blessed, because its truths are so amazing and so immense and so wonderful and profound for every true believer that it would take an eternity to learn all of it in these 11 verses. That's how much we should humble ourselves before the Word of God in hopes that He would reveal Himself, because I believe there's no more fitting, more relevant passage of Scripture for this present time than what we find in Psalm 46. With the world once again, it's not the first time, but once again becoming engulfed with mass hysteria and fear, it is to God, who alone is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of need, that we as God's children must look to. And it's to Scripture we must look to find these divine promises. It was Job who said in chapter 22 that if we acquaint ourselves with God, acquaint is an intimate relationship, not just a general knowledge, but he said if we acquaint ourselves with God, we'll be at peace. Intimate relationship with God brings peace. Who could be fearful when God is so near and His presence so real? It's here in God's Word that we are promised perfect peace in Isaiah 26 when our minds are stayed on Him. And it's here that the Bible promises that we should not be afraid of evil tidings in Psalm 112, if our hearts are fixed on God. Mind stayed on Him, hearts fixed on Him. offers perfect peace and no fear of evil tidings. You know, in a way, these times which we're facing today is a time when God is testing his people. Our faith shall be tried and tested. But listen to me, I hope and pray that it's also being improved and strengthened as believers. Sometimes when I look this last week upon Christians' reactions to what the world is going through, I'm greatly heartbroken by their fear and dismay. And I wish not to criticize anyone. But now is a time when we as God's people can show the world how much we truly believe in a God who is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Nothing proves the quality and measure of our faith in God and his promises more than when the waters thereof roar and be troubled and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. It's amazing that a lot of people kind of skip over verses 2 and 3 when he says, therefore will we not fear though the earth. He's saying we're not going to fear even though these things happen. We're not going to fear. We live in a day and age today where people believe God delivers us completely from all troubles and trials and sicknesses and illnesses and all these things. But that's not the power and the beauty of faith. Faith is when we can go through such things and still say, God is our God. He's my refuge and my strength and my very present help in trouble in the midst of these things. I don't look for God to deliver us out of these troubles, but I look for God to deliver us in them. You know, it's amazing, and again, I don't want to be overcritical. I know this, I'm not downplaying the seriousness of this. Please don't misunderstand me. But you know, in parts of the world today, people, Christians, are being persecuted for publicly meeting. They can be imprisoned, and some of them have been killed for publicly meeting, and they still meet. We meet a virus that over 80% recover, and people run and hide. Christians who year-long profess we have faith in God, and again, I'm not trying to criticize or be mean to those who fear. Fear is a tormenting thing. It is. And I'm praying that those Christians that are fearing would be encouraged by looking unto God and be able to escape such torments, but not justified. We say we have such great faith in God, and then when something like this happens, we bow down to its threats. I think a lot of that proves where our hearts are with God. And again, those that do suffer under the fear, I'm not condemning you or criticizing you. I'm beseeching you to turn your eyes upon Christ and trust in God, because now this is the time that we can experience God as a refuge. Why or how could we experience God as a refuge if we're not in need of one? It's times like these that God has risen up his people to show forth the faith that he has given them, that the world might see that there truly is a God. So I'm not criticizing those that are fearful. I'm encouraging you. Look to God and find the refuge that you need, that you might be able to show the world your faith and confidence in God, that we might be a testimony of his goodness, his grace, and his power. And it's here in this 46th Psalm that we find some of the greatest encouragements and promises to trust in God to protect, deliver, and help us. I want you to notice first of all, because first one lays the very foundation of not only this chapter, but it lays the foundation of every promise of God. And listen to me. It lays the foundation of every promise of God. Listen to the psalmist. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Look in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The psalmist is speaking from experience. He's speaking from knowing that God is a refuge and that God is his strength. And that God is a very present help in trouble. He's not speaking, so as we say, third hand. He's speaking from personal experience with God. You can't claim the promises of God. Listen to me. It might sound like common sense or natural, but you can't claim the promises of God if you don't know God. All the promises of God are in Christ, yea, and in him, amen. You can't claim what God promises without knowing God. And you can't claim God as a refuge and strength if you've never experienced him to be your refuge and your strength. Christians today run from trials and afflictions and hardships and seem as though they need to pray them away when God says you don't understand. Those afflictions work for you. They work for you because they tear down your fleshly confidence and they set your eyes on things that are not seen and not on things that are seen. A refuge. Can you imagine somebody who's in need of a refuge? It's a shelter. Say there's a huge storm and we've had them here in Texas and around, tornadoes or whatever. And the tornado's on its run, the winds are blowing, and the alarms are going off, and people saying, run to your shelters! Run to your shelters! And they run down to those shelters they have, and they close the door, and they feel and hear the storm raging outside, and they're so secure and safe in that shelter, they know what it is to be sheltered! Oh, let me tell you something, there's something about experiencing that spiritual same thing with God when the storms are raging, and you feel sheltered in Christ! That he'll keep you and protect you and deliver you though the storm is raging. Now's not the time to doubt God. It's time to lift him high in the world. Telling my wife, I was almost tempted to, but I know people would misunderstand that, but I was almost tempted to put a phrase about how Christians profess to have faith in God and then underneath that an empty church. Again, I'm not trying to be cynical or critical. Some people's fears are real, and I understand that. And I'm not justifying, but I'm not condemning it. I'm simply saying now is the time when God's church can really show and prove our faith and confidence in God. I'm getting ahead of myself, but people say, well, preacher, what if God don't deliver some from that? Remember the three Hebrew children? I'm getting ahead of myself. God wants to deliver us. That's fine. If not, we're still not moving. We need to understand. We need to believe. We need to know that God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help. You want to know God in that way? The psalmist isn't wishing something in verse 1. He's saying, I can tell you everything from verse 2 to 11 because I've experienced it personally. I know what it is to know God as my refuge. And you know, with the very mention of fear, listen to him, he says, therefore will not we fear. The very mention of fear proves the psalmist was acquainted with it. He knows what fear is. He mentions it. Therefore, because of verse 1, will not we fear? Yet he overcomes it, not by any means of his own, but because he knows God as his refuge and strength, his personally experienced as a present help in trouble. He recognizes and acknowledges fear is present, but he doesn't subside to it. He doesn't give in to it. David, a man after God's own heart, you know what he said in Psalm 56? What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Listen to me. Not just people here, that maybe people will listen to this as we put it on the internet, Christians that believe God that are afraid and trembling with the rest. I don't underestimate, I don't undervalue, I don't criticize your fear. Fear is tormenting. 1 John says fear is torment. There's fear and torment, there's torment and fear. I'm not belittling that, but I'm just letting you know, I'm asking you, let God, and I hate that word let, because we don't let a sovereign God do anything, but by faith, turn to God. And get to know Him as a refuge and a strength. David said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in Thee. He never denied that he feared. We all fear something somewhere, somehow, sometime. Faith does not mean the absence of fear. Listen to me. Faith does not mean the absence of fear, but the overcoming of it and conquering it. Not being controlled by it. It doesn't mean the absence of fear, but I can overcome it. I can conquer it. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. Any of you read anything by Stephen Charnock? He wrote 2 volumes on the attributes of God. I encourage you to spend some time in it. Very well written. He said this, and I quote, if the heart stay on Christ in the midst of those doubtings, it is not an evil heart of unbelief. Such doubtings consist with the indwelling of the Spirit. Listen to me. It's good. Such doubtings consist with the indwelling of the Spirit who is in the heart to perform the office of a comforter against such fears and drive it from our bosom. That's a work of grace. It's not saying, oh, I don't fear. I trust God. It's, oh, I do fear, but I want to know the Spirit of God driving that fear from my heart. That's knowing the power of God's Word triumphing through us. That's Christianity in experimental ways. And that's what our forefathers and apostles and prophets preached. That's why in Luther's psalm he said, the Lord has sovereignly ordained that His truth triumph through us. Triumph through us. Let Psalm 46:1 triumph through you. God is my refuge and strength. Very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. God is presently our personal. You see how he personalizes this? God is presently. It's written hundreds of years ago, but it's still, because it's God's eternal word, it meets our needs today. Is God presently our refuge and our strength? And I like how the psalmist adds to this. He says that in verse 2 as he goes on. He said, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed. Listen to the words. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, he says, though these things may happen. He's not saying they're not going to happen because God's my refuge. He says, even though they happen. This is faith at its greatest. Believing and trusting in the sovereign providence of God, whatever takes place in my life. If God ordains the storms to rage and the seas to roar, God is still my refuge and still my strength. And still a very present help in trouble. I fear most professing believers today desire to know that promise, but know nothing of it experientially. They've never experienced it. They've never been able to have it proven in their lives. And I'm just asking you, I'm beseeching you, if you're here or somewhere else listening to this, I'm asking you, if you're a child of God, don't let fear control you. But by faith in Christ, conquer it so that you might learn that God truly is a refuge. If I don't feel I need a shelter, why would I want God as a refuge? Strength is safety. If I don't feel I need safety, if I don't feel I need God's strength, I can only feel that when I'm weak. And a very present help? Where? In trouble. So believer, it's not, you shouldn't be ashamed that you're fearing, that you're in trouble, that you feel need of a shelter and strength. Now is the time to have faith in God that He'll show you those things. His faith and confidence in God being his refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble, not only vanquished his fear, but listen to me, it enabled him to face those very oppositions and troubles which were the cause of such fears. It enabled him to face them. It not only vanquished it, listen to me, and this is the power of the working of grace in the heart of the believer. It not only vanquished fear in him, therefore will we not fear, but it's a comment, as though these things happen. It enabled him to stand in the midst of those, though they happened. I mentioned them earlier with the three Hebrew children. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but they said, you either dance to our music, you die, be thrown in the fire. And so they brought him to the fire pit and says, okay, if you do this and do that, well, if you'll bow down and worship, if you'll follow the rest of the world, you know, you're okay. But if not, and I liked how they answered, if it be so, our God will deliver us. But I love this last one better. But if not, we still ain't bowing down to your music and dancing to your tune, honey. So you'd rather die in the furnace. Listen to me closely. If that be the will of God, yes. But I'm not going to bow down to your fears and torments. Christians don't fear what God providentially plans for their life. We know that each and every one of us, according to Job 14, we know that each and every one of us have a deadline. You know that? Look at Job 14. We all have a deadline in heaven. God has a date over each one of our names when we shall pass. It shall not be sooner nor later than when God defines it to be so. And if it be so this way, the three Hebrew children says, we're fine with that. But we'll never deny our God. Wouldn't you love to have that kind of faith? Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs if you got the stomach for it. How our forefathers... It pains me to see so many Christians ignorant of our church history. If our forefathers could do what they did, burned at the stake, boiled in oil, thrown in the river, cut asunder, thrown to the lions... If it be so with God, that's fine with me. Madame Guyon, I know a lot of people have trouble with her. She had some doctrinal issues, I'll admit. But when they locked her up in a prison for years and only having candlelight at dinner, she's the one that wrote that great poem that says, it doesn't matter that I'm here in this prison and I'm locked up. The freedom of the soul still extends to God and I can still reach out and my prayers still reach God. So I'm content to be where God's providence is placed. And most people would say, that's morbid. She's strange. No, she understood something about what the psalmist said. Though these things happen. What we do on Sundays in meeting together as Christians is not only vital for our faith, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another in the faith, but it's also vital for our worshiping and praising God and showing the world where we put our reverence, where our priorities are, and how important God is to us. It sends a message to the world. And when we cower with the world, we're sending them nothing but a confusing message that our God is okay when you're on the mountain, but in the valleys, he's not worth trusting. Though these things happen, we will not fear. I love how he puts that. This isn't fanaticism. Fanaticism is different than faith. Faith in God and his ability and power to shelter, support, and help us, whatever his divine providence has ordained to be. If it be so, but if not, our God remains the same. It's not fanaticism. It's trusting in God for everything, even our very life. I like what put in the bulletin, I like what Luther said often to his followers. He would often say something like, let the devil do his worst. Let us sing Psalm 46 and let the devil do his worst. I kind of like that phrase. They said he mentioned it often. Whenever they were persecuted, he'd say, let us sing Psalm 46 and let the devil do his worst. One of these days, I'd like to try singing the Psalms. You know, there are hymns that you can sing the Psalms. What a wonderful way. You ever heard anything like that? Try to get, 400 Englishmen and Scottish and all them Ireland in one room, about 400 of them singing a cappella the Psalms. It's amazing. Let us sing the 46th Psalm and let the devil do his worst. Beloved, let alone fear is contagious. Listen to me as I wind this down. Let alone fear is contagious. Do you know that? And it threatens even those who put their trust in God. In Deuteronomy, when they were going to war, this is what God said, and I'll read it. It's Deuteronomy 28. The Lord said, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. In other words, when the Israelites went to war, God says, don't let no fearful, faint-hearted man go to war, because he'll infest his brother's heart. Send him home. It didn't make him no less of a brother. Listen to me. It didn't make him no less of a brother. But he couldn't share in the victory of the spoils. You listen to me, believer? Who's fearful and afraid and maybe cowering at home? It doesn't make you less of a brother or sister, but it robs you of the victories of the spoil. What is that? Do you know what God is doing now amongst those who are meeting? He's manifesting himself in a very wonderful, miraculous way. Why? Because if you look at church history, that's what he does when things get bad and troubled. It's amazing how God meets with his people when they gather together and he blesses the preaching of his word and God's people are encouraged and they're comforted and they're strengthened and they go out in the world with new vigor and strength and love for Christ. That's what they're missing out on. Well, we got the internet. You can watch me through the TV. That's not the same. There's one thing I am kind of, I can't say glad about. It's kind of a weird way to put it. Let me just put it this way. To see that you have a big, huge, couple thousand seat auditorium. A man like Joel Osteen, who boasts all along about loving God and trusting God, their house is empty today and he's at home behind a computer. I guess that's to be expected of somebody who don't know God. You're judging? No, I'm not. I'm just stating a fact. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You cannot trust your own. What if God doesn't deliver us? May God be glorified anyway. God is our refuge. Abide with me. We only sang a few hymns. But there's another hymn that goes with this, and it says this: I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. For this God, Psalm 48:14, and I hope you can say that this morning, this God is our God forever and ever, and will be our God even unto death, Psalm 48:14. God is our refuge and strength, a very help, very present help in trouble. This God is our God. Can you say that this morning? This God is my God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. And I promise I'll close with this one word. Look over in verse 3 of this same chapter. Stay with me. Very important. Verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, this one word, Selah. For years as a Christian, I wonder what that meant. Somebody said, oh, that just means amen. But it means more than that. You know what it means? These are songs to be sung. Selah meant stop the music right there. Meditate. Think. Set your heart on what's been sung. Take a moment. He says it 3 times in the Psalms. Stop. Think about it. Set your heart on God. It's like they'd be singing this hymn and they'd get down to the bottom of that and they'd stop the music. The instruments would stop playing and they'd stop singing and the congregation would stop and think, God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help. Oh, this is a lost virtue amongst Christians. Meditating in the Word of God and letting it just absorb your heart and your soul and praying over it, spending time on it, slowing down a moment and finding Christ in every word. What a lost virtue it is. But we've got to do that with the promises of God. So often we let them just quickly run across our hearts. You know how many blessings we lose because we don't spend time thinking about what God has spoken to us? We get thrilled maybe at what he said and then we move on. We don't stop. We don't stop and pray and say, oh God, drive it deeper. Oh God, let it dwell in me. Oh God, let it influence me. Let it confine or possess my whole being. I know that's a lost virtue for this day and age of getting everything quick. Selah. Let me tell you something this morning. There's nothing wrong. And I mean, you can't turn on the TV without seeing the news. They've hyped it up. There's mass hysteria. People are afraid, hoarding food. People's worried about the economy, about jobs and schools. Don't fall into their fear. It's not sinful to fear, but it is if you let it continue. Open up this blessed book and turn to Psalm 46 and read and pray over it and then Selah. Stop and think and meditate and look to God. Trust in Him because believe me, this world's fixing to come to an end. God is just shaking those things that can be shaken, that those things cannot be shaken, will remain. This is all in His sovereign plan. It wasn't a conspiracy theory from the president or the Democrats or China or politics. God knew very well what was going on. Trust in Him. Amen. May God give us grace to experience and know this truth personally. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear God, for Your Word. We thank You for everything You've given us. We know that nothing goes on in this world without You ordaining it, decreeing it, allowing it, permitting it. You're a sovereign God. Lord, You're using this to shake up the world. They're losing confidence. And Lord, they're not so much afraid of death as they are losing their lifestyles, losing the comforts and pleasures of this world. Lord, You're working. And Father, we pray that You'd help us as Your children Father, that we'd be able to stand up for Christ, that we'd be able to be the lights we need to be in this darkened world. Encourage and strengthen your children. Let us conquer fear. And let us, like the psalmist say, therefore, will not we fear, though these things might happen. You're still God, and we will, by your grace, always remain faithful to thee. God, I pray, help us to see these things. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. Lord bless you. Hope and pray we'll see you next.